This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Link reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in back with the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're starting out with one of the more eloquent guests I've ever had on the show since I started doing radio in 1995, Chris Martinson. Chris, I want to thank you publicly, by the way, for sending me your book. Corey now has a copy and I have a copy, and I got to tell you, great read, no question about it. If you don't mind, I'd like to start talking a little bit about politics. It looks like it's probably going to be Trump and Clinton, although, you know, if you put any credence in what Matt Drudge has to say, what's his name from Texas, is now starting a bit of a surge. Ted Cruz, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Trump at this point in time is probably unbeatable. The unfortunate thing about that is it will probably result in a brokered convention. Give us your thoughts first on the possibility of Trump actually getting the nomination in a polite manner other than yelling back and forth at the convention. What do you think, man?
Well, I think he's got a very good shot at getting the nomination, but he has absolutely zero shot of winning the general election. And I base that on the fact that I've done a very close study of the 2000, 2004, 8, and 12 elections. And I hate to say this, but there are such clear patterns of voting fraud across all the dimensions of voting fraud that you would want to see, but especially in those states that particularly have electronic voting machines where there's no record, no trail, and we are seeing results that consistently come out of those states, most recently in Kentucky for the governor's election with all kinds of shenanigans going on there that would not pass a UN-observed election in a third-world country, but those happen in our country with great regularity. So, unfortunately, I will tell you, it's nice to think that we the people have a vote, have a say, but when you get right down to it, you got to go back to Stalin. It doesn't matter who votes. It matters who counts the votes. And the more you look into this, the uglier it gets.
So, Chris, even if, let's say, Trump doesn't get the nomination or Cruz gets it instead, do you think that he even has a chance? Or is this whole voting, it sounds like voting rigging that you're saying, going to happen no matter what? And that means that we're going to have another Clinton in the office.
Well, I think it's... there must be something deeper going on, and here's why. So Al Gore loses, right? And he loses to Bush. And he lost particularly in Ohio. And Ohio had results that were so bizarre, including in one case, a county where more people were recorded as having voted than lived there, not even registered voters, right? Strange, bizarre results. And Al Gore conceded within 3 hours of the result coming in, didn't challenge it, never mentioned it, just said, oh, I tried, I lost, right? I can't imagine anybody honestly fighting their way all the way to try and become president, seeing results like that, and not saying, I demand an inquiry into this, and just exceeding within a matter of hours. So it feels to me a little bit like that's a brokered deal.
Well, let's go down to Florida just for the fun of it. Let's go back to 2000, 2004. Let's go back to Florida, and let's say what happened down there. The Supreme Court came out and said, sorry, Mr. Gore, you're out of the deal. I'm conservative, and I'm, you know, generally vote Republican, not always, but generally, and I would have to say that the deal in Florida to me stunk to high heaven, Chris.
Of course it did. Of course it did. It was a very bizarre opinion, a very bizarre ruling. They cited a very odd interpretation of the 14th Amendment and then said, oh, by the way, you can never use this ruling as a precedent for anything else. In fact, we'll just all forget it ever happened. And it was, to me, you know, I'm not a constitutional expert, but it's pretty clear that the Supreme Court really doesn't have a say in what happens in a statewide election. There's no power enumerated to it. That belonged to the state Supreme Court in Florida. There were a variety of irregularities that needed to be looked into, not just the hanging chads, but a lot of voter roll sort of purging that had happened, some strange stuff that happened with their electronic voting. Everything, it was just weird. So the whole thing was bizarre. And we all know that. And so that's where the bizarreness really started, and it only unfortunately picked up. So my point here is not to say, you know, get totally jaded, tell people don't vote, but care about this. If we, like, if voting matters, then counting votes matters even more. And it's been odd to me that we've had these really unusual statistical things that can never happen. Exit polls might vary by 1 or 2% from actual results. We're seeing in most recent elections vary by 8%, 9%, and more. So it just tells me that there's something else going on in it, and it's really unfortunate. And it has made me a bit of a cynic about the voting process, because I'm a scientist, and when I see things that are statistically impossible, like three people in my town suddenly get hit by meteorites and die from it, and nobody's ever been hit by a meteorite ever before in history, I go, this is weird, right? At least we should look into this and ask a question about it. But so far, no appetite for that in our country.
So, Chris, does this tie in or have anything to do with the higher voter turnout that we are seeing through some of these primaries? What do you take from that?
Well, yes, more people really care. This is it's interesting. The electorate is aroused, and I'm pretty excited to see that. I think it's time for people to get angry, to get back involved. I love the fact that there is a general tenor on both sides for Bernie Sanders and for Trump to say, we're tired of the status quo. We're tired of Washington saying one thing, doing another, of the elites taking care of themselves. It is time, I think, to make this country great again, but it begins by recognizing why it's not great.
You kind of hit one of my hot buttons. Bernie Sanders, what do you think?
One of your hot buttons.
Well, at least you know where the guy stands, man. I think he's got more honesty in him than Mrs. Clinton does. I'll definitely say that.
Well, here's the thing. I really believe not just what people say, but what they do. So he's been absolutely consistent. He's voted. His words, his actions all line up. Hillary comes out, and all of a sudden, you know, she's against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but wait, she just voted for it last time, and oh, all of a sudden she's against wars, but she voted for every single one. So Hillary, to me, is clearly, she panders, she'll say whatever's necessary, she just wants power because she loves power. She has a lot to answer for her mistaken and ill-advised, and I think in several cases, possibly, we can go further than that and say these were illegal activities that happened under her watch around, in particular, the attack on Libya comes to the forefront of my mind, but also the Iraq War. Those were not mistakes of intelligence or things that, you know, we can debate. Those were clearly acts of aggression that have no place in my civilized world. On that front, I love Bernie.
Yeah, not going to happen. Clinton, I would predict that Hillary Clinton will not be indicted. I will predict that her comment about the ridiculous comment that she made earlier in the week, you know, under my watch, we lost no Americans in Libya. You know, people are going to believe that. They're going to rationalize, and they're going to say, well, it wasn't her responsibility, or, well, you know, it was this, it was that. It ain't going to happen. They are the most powerful family I have ever seen in the United States, and that's terrifying.
I absolutely agree. The stuff that she's gotten away with, this email server thing, right? People are like, oh, it sounds complicated. No, it's not complicated. She's been in government long enough. Anybody who's been in government with a top secret clearance for more than a week understands you don't do what she did. And she did it. And she had a private server, which no doubt foreign concerns were rooting through because it was unprotected by reasonable standards. And she was openly stripping off top secret headers and doing all of that. If you or I did that, there's no chance we would be doing anything but defending ourselves from going to prison, period. No question.
Well, that's why it seems to be hard to bet against Hillary, even though she says she's not a politician. Through and through, she is, isn't she? And that's what I think trying to make her.
Yeah. I saw her say that during a recent debate, and that's when I looked at the pooch and I said, Callie, let's go drink a glass of wine. This woman is crazy.
Well, she does, but there's a machine running, the DNC machine. You know, I think it's amazing Bernie's gotten as far as he has, given all the roadblocks in front of him from the media, from the DNC, you name it. As far as I can tell, by popular vote in terms of who packs more people into arenas, Bernie's clearly winning. But look what just happened. In every single primary that just went down, they were very, very close, and Clinton comes out taking them all. When they steal elections this way by the electronic voting machines, they know they don't make it 65 to 35. they go 51-49. It's written in. It's much harder to detect. But, you know, when you see somebody, take all six coin flips, you know, as it were, in these primaries, you should at least be asking some questions.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacral wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Hi, Pat Matthews again. I want to talk to you about selling online. And when I say selling, I'm talking about your home, your car, and even buying a house or a new set of wheels. There's a new kid in town, and that's BuySellMakeOffer.com. The revolution has already begun, and I invite you to be a part of it. You see, get in on the ground floor, because BuySellMakeOffer.com never charges item fees. Can you imagine what the other guys might charge you for selling a car on their site? Let alone a house. Well, BuySellMakeOffer.com doesn't do that. And you can use Skype and YouTube videos to sell your products, big or small. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and set up your account. For as little as $7.95 per month, you can sell up to 50 items. And they'll give you the first 30 days free just to try it out. Remember, no per item fees. Join the revolution today. BuySellMakeOffer.com. And tell them Pat Matthews sent you.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. We are continuing our discussion with Chris Martinson. Chris, last segment we talked about politics, This segment, I want to talk about the markets because we are seeing some interesting trend moves as we progress through 2016. Let's start off by talking about energy. Once the oil price seemed to bottom about mid to early February for crude at right around $26, we've seen a nice uptrend, and this is in the face of continued bad fundamentals in terms of supply and demand. First of all, do you think this uptrend will continue, and why do you think it's happened? Was the commodity just maybe a little bit oversold?
Corey, I'm not ready to say that oil's out of the woods. We've seen a lot of bottom calling on oil over the last year and a half. Could the bottom have been in? It's possible. But on a supply-demand fundamental basis, I don't see anything in here yet that says we're out of the woods. There's a lot of oil on the market. Demand is kind of weak. And we've seen a lot of moves and a lot of commodities begin to gyrate around because there's a lot of speculative money out there in the world. It makes it really difficult to say that the prices are always right. I know some people say the markets are always right, but were the markets right when they were pricing the junk debt of shale oil companies at 5%? No, but that was the price that was right at that moment, but we learned later, oh, that was actually maybe not the right price. So I'm looking at oil. I'm seeing a lot of speculative interest in here, and it could go a little further, but a lot of companies are going to begin to hedge again at this level, and that's going to create a little bit of upward resistance as we go forward. So I'm not quite ready to call it out of the woods yet, and worse, I'm looking at all the global economic statistics. Europe, Japan, China, even the U.S. all say weakness, especially South America. So that weakness is going to really hit oil demand, and there seems to be plenty of supply, even with the retreat in U.S. supplies at this point.
Chris, I'm with you. I am in no way in the bullish camp for oil. I think that not only the current supply and demands go against it, but let's also talk about the stockpiles that have built up. When I was moderating a panel with a couple oil executives in Vancouver in January, they obviously took the more bullish side and said, you know, if we have, let's say, a natural disaster, I hate betting on that type of stuff, or just even a production cut, a significant one by OPEC, then that would bring the supply and demand back in balance. But there are reports out there that we have a trillion barrels just sitting out there. That will take some time to go through, and that's why I don't think we would see a sharp recovery. How do you feel about that?
Well, we know that oil has to recover at some point. I'm very bullish if you give me a 2 to 3 year time frame because there's been extraordinary capex destruction and erosion across the industry. That means that all of the depleting wells that are out there right now are not being replenished, refurbished, infield drilling is not happening, all that. So 2-3 years, very bullish because the marginal cost of getting a new barrel out of the ground is more than the current price of oil. So eventually it's got to get there, or the world is going to have to say, we don't want oil, and that's not going to happen in 2 or 3 years. So I'm looking for an eventual rebound, but not yet at these levels. And it's, again, because here's what happens to oil the minute you run out of storage space for it. It almost goes to zero. In fact, in North Dakota, we saw a certain grade of crude go below zero. It cost you 50 cents a barrel to have it trucked away, right? That's what happens with oil. If you don't have a place to put it, you know, and a lot of these wells cannot be just shut in. You can't just shut down wells without damaging reservoirs, and companies need cash flow. So there are all kinds of pressures to keep the oil flowing. So it's flowing. Companies are trying to survive, and the demand just isn't there yet.
Well, companies and countries need to keep on pumping the stuff to pull in some revenue rather than shutting it completely off. So let's move over to the U.S. equity markets. We've seen, again, almost in unison with the oil price, a rise from the potential double bottom that we put in, again, mid-February. We're still not at the highs that we reached last year, but we have seen some buying come into the markets. What are your comments on the future direction of the U.S. equities?
I've started to nibble in and begin to put short positions on. I plan to be fully short by May, using the sell in May and go away. And the reason is that I still believe in fundamentals, and I'm looking at things like revenues and earnings growth, or in this case, earnings deterioration, and looking where the global economy is and saying, you know, this just isn't the place for good growth to go forward. Those should weigh on stock prices. But listen, we've got an election year. The Federal Reserve has shown no shyness in the past about keeping equity prices propped coming into elections. It's a well-known phenomenon. And this recent rebound in equity prices, you can't make a fundamental case for it. Only case you can make for it is that central banks are going to keep being accommodative and central banks are going to keep doing what they do. And we're starting to see some cracks in that story, Corey. We're starting to see people openly question reading headlines and say, hey, is the Fed credibility damaged? Hey, are central banks really omnipotent? There's a lot of pressures and tensions out there. So I'm comfortable beginning to say I'd rather be short than long at this point in time. I haven't been net short since 2009. So I'm pretty cautious around these things, but patient. So, yeah, I'm looking for a pullback at some point over the next year.
Okay, Chris, you did mention central banks and the Fed. We had the Fed come out this week with a more dovish statement than I think the markets expected, or at least most traders, even though most people did not expect them to raise rates. What was your takeaway from what the Fed had to say?
It was no surprise to me the Fed didn't raise rates. I really don't think they're going to at all. I don't know that they can at this point in time, because the Fed isn't really operating independently for U.S. interests and concerns at this point in time. If the Fed raises rates at this point, the dollar will strengthen considerably. That's going to create a lot of pressure on other currencies. That's going to really just take the legs out from under a whole bunch of emerging market and emerging corporate debt that's denominated in dollars. It's going to create a big sort of a you can't have one central bank in the reserve currency central bank out there raising rates while everybody's going into negative territory without creating huge perturbations in the markets. You have to know that the central banks of China, Japan, Europe, and the U.S. and the U.K. get together and they have to talk this through because their policies have to be coordinated. Everybody's facing really unique and stiff difficulties all of their own. So these have to be coordinated policies. So on that basis alone, I don't think the Fed is going to raise rates. It has nothing to do with, did we hit our inflation targets and is unemployment where we thought it was going to be? They'll just make new rules up if they have to. If it turns out now is not the right time for the global situation for them to raise rates, that's what the market was reacting to. The Fed clearly telegraphing once again, they're looking at market volatility. They're looking at global markets. They're basically market watchers. Well, aren't we all? So I think it would be more honest if the Fed just came out and said, we're going to keep propping the markets up for as long as necessary. But that's how the markets interpreted that, and probably not inaccurately.
Yeah, clearly not as data dependent as they would like everyone to believe just by that last comment. Chris, let's wrap it up. What are your comments on the moves that we're seeing in gold?
Well, it's clear breakout at this point in time. It looks like we had a beautiful technical formation cup and handle that formed over the last 6 months, and gold is now above a bunch of moving averages. Looks good. I'm surprised gold's waited this long, but let's look at it this way. In a world of negative interest rates, you can't say gold doesn't pay interest, but now you can say at least it doesn't pay negative interest. So gold's going to do well in a negative nominal and also negative real interest environment. That's what we're starting to see.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Youngevity for over 17 years, since before it was Youngevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Youngevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Youngevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Youngevity.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We have one of our good friends on with us right now, president of the Mises Institute and BMW motorcycle owner of late, Jeff Deist. Jeff, really the hot button for everybody right now, in at least in the financial community, is the discussion about negative interest rates here in the United States. Where's it going to go, man? And is it good or bad in your opinion?
It's clearly bad. There's no question about it. There's no concept of negative interest rates if nature was allowed to take its course. In other words, there's no scenario under which people would accept a deal, whereas I take $1,000 from them today in exchange for returning $900 to them at some point in the future, right? So conceptually, negative interest rates just don't make sense. The only time where they seemingly begin to make sense is when people are so concerned about the purchasing power of their money that they're sure it's going to lose at least some of that power in the near term, that they're actually willing to accept $900 in the future in return for $1,000 today because they fear that the loss of purchasing power might be greater than that. In other words, if they accept negative interest rate of $100, at least they're limiting their losses to that $100. So in that sense, you could almost view negative interest rates as an insurance product rather than a banking product. But absent government intervention, you know, nobody would accept this. Nobody would do this. And if we just think about it, it's really a bizarre concept. I mean, I think of my own father, who's no longer with us, but the amount of money he was able to put away and save you know, not only in banking products like CDs, but also in mutual funds that had returns over the years. You know, that was really a testament to someone who was able to forego consumption in order to save money for a rainy day or to pass on to his children or whatever. And that's really been the basis of all, you know, capital accumulation. That's really been the basis of human prosperity, this idea that we save for a rainy day, that we bring in less than we consume, and that the difference that we put away is capital accumulation that funds new businesses and funds new ventures. This is human history in a nutshell. It's more than just economics. There's a human desire to put away for a rainy day because we live in a world of uncertainty. So when you turn this upside down and you start imposing negative interest rates on people to force them to take their money out of the bank and consume it and to spend it now instead of saving for a rainy day creates all kinds of moral hazards and all kinds of malinvestments that are going to rebound across the economy. So what we're seeing right now in Europe is not just negative interest rates in real terms when adjusted for inflation, but actually nominally negative interest rates on certain European sovereign bonds. It's really quite unprecedented, and it's all part of this new normal that we have to accept, this unprecedented range of monetary policy objectives by central banks. It's not going to work. It's going to create a lot of problems, and in the short term, which we've already seen in Germany and Japan, people are going to run out and start trying to get their money out of banks and into physical possession in the form of safety deposit boxes or safes in their home or just the old-fashioned way of under the mattress. So it's a very strange time. There's nothing that makes sense about it conceptually. And I think that listeners to your show should start to think about what it means for them and how they can react or how they can respond to it.
Well, Jeff, these negative interest rates seem to be more prevalent because these central banks are trying to fight deflation or at least get inflation back to their target level. But they seem to be having a lot of trouble with this, even in Japan, where they've been trying to get inflation back for a number of years. And with all this easy money policy and now negative interest rates, they haven't succeeded. So do you think that these central banks just continue down this road with the mentality that eventually, one day, it will actually lead to inflation?
Yes, I think they do, although I think in their heart of hearts, most central bankers understand, and Janet Yellen has been quite forthcoming about this, that there are limits to monetary policy. In other words, there's only so much you can do with monetary policy as opposed to fiscal policy or tax policy, for example, to motivate humans or to compel them to do things that you want them to do. And that's really what government policy is, right? It's compulsion. So, yes, there are limits to monetary policy. Can they create inflation? I suppose they can if they try hard enough. But the problem is that what we're seeing in terms of deflation is really a shedding of debt, right? There's been such a gigantic bubble created by the ECB, by the Fed, and certainly by the Bank of Japan over the last 20 years, that at some point people have to begin shedding debt. At some point it just becomes unsustainable. So even as central banks are trying to pump out cheap money, in effect, there are greater events that cause businesses and households and individuals to shed debt, whether that's through bankruptcy, whether that's through, you know, less consumption, however it takes place. So you've got these sort of twin shearing forces of inflationary pressure on the monetary side and deflationary pressure on the side of businesses and households and individuals. So nobody knows exactly how it's going to play out precisely because this is uncharted territory, but we do know that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And my fear is that this whipsaw effect that central banks are creating is bigger, and it's going to be more painful than the last time we saw a big correction in 08 and 09.
You know, I have to tell you, negative interest rates coming to the United States are certainly something that I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would see. Having said that, low interest rates to this point, zero interest rates or what have you, you know, that the Fed has tried to do to stimulate economic growth, in my humble opinion, I mean, all you have to do is look at the numbers. It really hasn't worked so far, Jeff.
No, it hasn't. And economic growth is anemic even if you use the Treasury Department's own flawed statistics, also known as GDP, which I argue as flawed because they overstate economic growth because they include government spending. And, of course, government spending is just money that was taken out of the private sector. So, to me, that's not real economic growth. So there's no real growth in American companies. There's no real income growth on American household balance sheets to support the rosy picture that Mr. Obama and some of our other politicians try to paint. And I noticed that Ms. Yellen is a bit more circumspect in painting a rosy picture, because I think on some level she understands that the growth has been mostly in the stock market. And that growth has been mostly caused by monetary policy, not by actual growth and productivity.
I believe she completely understands that.
Jeff, what about the comment or argument that the U.S. is still doing better than a number of the other developed countries out there, and it's a comparative game?
Well, that's absolutely true, and it especially inures to our benefit when it comes to the dollar. In other words, everybody has to have a currency, and if the dollar is the least bad currency, perhaps even by a wide margin, then that tends to cause capital and brains to flow into the U.S., and so we benefit from that, certainly in the short term. There's going to be a day of reckoning, because we've never had the world's reserve currency suffer a collapse or a significant fall. These are sort of uncharted waters, but they're not happy waters. And I think that the Fed and other central banks have simply lost their way. They don't know what the future holds. They don't know what to do. They only know that there's political pressure on them to keep doing what they've been doing, which is to keep the whole thing afloat another quarter or another 6 months or another year, especially in an election year here in the U.S. So it's a strange time, and it's a troubling time. And I think we all need to think about what our money in the bank, whether that's in the form of our portfolios or our certificates of deposit or just our checking and savings accounts, we all have to think long and hard about what those digital blips on someone's server really mean, and what, you know, whether our wealth is real and whether we can access it if things get ugly.
So everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Planning to buy food storage? Wait a minute. Many companies try to confuse you with the number of servings they sell. It's not about the number of servings. It's about the number of calories. In emergencies, calories mean survival. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com for a comparison of leading companies. Ready Supply Foods sells the most calories per dollar of any company. Our 23 entrees and breakfasts are delicious and full of nutritious calories. The new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
It's no secret that pathogens such as bacteria, viruses, moles, and fungus can inflict severe damage in the human body. Fortunately, a new and vastly improved silver solution has been developed. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary broad-spectrum antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal solution that can be used inside the body as well as on the skin. Supernatural Silver is unique and superior to colloidal and ionic silvers, using a patented technology that is highly effective against colds, flus, infections, food poisoning, and yeast, in addition to many other pathogens. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, extremely safe, and is the number one choice of thousands of people for immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver could change your life. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code HEALTHY for 20% off. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. And like us on Facebook.
This is Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. That's why Macy's is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Welcome in here to wrap up the weekend edition. Al had to step out of the recording studio. He is busy at a economic development meeting, so unfortunately he could not be a part of this final segment with Jeff Deist. But Jeff, we are going to focus on politics, but instead of just complaining about the system in the U.S., I want to compare and contrast what's going on kind of in North America in general, Canada and the U.S., talking about how Canada, we just elected Trudeau, who I am honestly not a big fan of, but going down the road of the U.S., you also have Trump, and they have very different styles as to how they're approaching politics, the election on either side, and I would even say some of their policies moving forward. Can you outline your take on, I guess, the issues that we're having in both countries for politics?
Yeah, well, it's interesting to me how both Trump and Trudeau seem pretty light when it comes to policy matters and any kind of deep technical knowledge on legislation. But Trudeau gets a pass on this, of course, because he's on the left, whereas Trump gets raked over the coals for it because he's perceived anyway as being on the right. I mean, as an American from afar, I really view Trudeau as kind of the worst sort of lightweight. You know, he gets a pass, again, because he's on the left, but also he's got this youthfulness to him. He's got the legacy of his father.
Well, he's just so good-looking, Jeff.
yeah, I don't know. But
yeah.
The guy just seems like someone that the left loves, youthful, boyish, and left-wing. Now, of course, if he was a youthful and boyish right-winger, especially a white male, he would be excoriated, I'm sure, quite frequently. But look, you know, when I read about Canadian politics, I understand why the rest of the world feels like it has a vested interest in the outcome of the U.S. presidential election, because, you know, the U.S. goes out there and with its foreign policy bungling creates so much havoc that later ends up affecting countries like Canada. So when we blow up Syria, you know, maybe 3 years later, there are Syrian refugees showing up in Canada. So as much as I dislike it, I guess, reflexively, as maybe this makes me a typical American, I don't like to hear Brits or Canadians or French people opine on how awful Donald Trump is, whatever. I get it. I understand it. And I think it's legitimate because it's not just our foreign policy. It's also our monetary policy, which is imperialist. We use a profligate monetary policy and we impose upon the rest of the world a diminution in the value of their dollar holdings. But yet the rest of the world has to keep using the dollar to buy oil, to settle international transactions, etc. You know, it's interesting how much more Canadians follow American politics than vice versa. But in that sense, it makes sense, right, that people in Canada feel like they ought to have a say, or at least, you know, an opinion. And I think that this is really going to come to the fore in a Hillary versus Trump match. I think the pressure from the rest of the world to elect Hillary as this sort of sober stateswoman that we can all understand, and this progressive who is part of, you know, the progressive reality of the West today. I think pressure from the rest of the world is going to influence U.S. voters because they're, you know, nobody wants to be sort of seen as the hated bully around the world like George W. Bush certainly was. So I think that Hillary is going to be able to use that to her advantage and say, look, if you elect Trump, we are going to be the laughing stock or the feared bully by the rest of the world. And I think you're going to see this in Canada, which, you know, for all of its faults, is in many ways a more sensible country than America. I mean, Canada certainly has some left-wing social justice warrior nonsense informing its politics. But if you look underneath that, if you look at things like tax policy, if you look at what the Canadian Central Bank has done relatively to the Fed, there are many ways in which I think Canada is a more conservative country than America. Its people tend to be less outlandish, and I think its people also tend to have less grandiose visions of what their government can accomplish relative to Americans.
Well, I would agree with that, Jeff. And one aspect that just sends shivers down my spine, makes me shake my head every day, is how bad the system has gotten in the U.S. and in Canada. Honestly, when I went out and voted, felt like I had no choice. And I know a lot of Americans feel like they have no good choice either. And that's one aspect that scared me about the Canadian elections that I think is going to trickle into the U.S. voting here, and that is this strategic voting initiative, where people are voting for one person, not because they like them, but just because they really don't want this other person to get in. And to me, that's not the way that democracy should work.
No, it's the lesser of evils theory, which we could go on and on about for hours. But, you know, in the United States, a lot of the various states have open primaries, which means people who are registered with either major party are allowed to vote in the other party's primary. And I think a few months ago, a lot of people on the left who are Democrats thought that this was a good strategy. Let's cross over and vote for Trump in order to defeat the Republican establishment and bring this this person that the media characterizes as a buffoonish or outlandish character, force him onto Republican ballots, and that will work to our benefit in the general election. I think now the left is starting to rethink that because Trump actually appears to be bringing over some people from the left who are voting for him, especially Union Democrats, white males who otherwise vote Democrat. But he's also apparently creating some brand new voters amongst the non-voting classes. So going to be very interesting and pretty wide open. But if you're asking me to predict today, I would absolutely predict that Hillary Clinton is the next president of the U.S.
Do you think that if somehow Cruz manages to get the nomination, that he stands a better chance against Clinton?
No, I think Cruz, certainly Rubio, who's now out, but Cruz would get badly beaten by Hillary Clinton. No question in my mind about that. Not even a debate.
So it's got to be Trump that maybe stands a chance simply because he's bringing out new voters, do you think?
Well, yes, but also we have this opportunity for a brokered Republican convention, which could result in some kind of Cruz-Kasich ticket or something like that. I think any of these alternative tickets loses to Hillary, but I think a lot of rank-and-file Republicans and certainly establishment Republicans are comfortable with that. They would rather lose to Hillary than have Trump, and they would rather regroup and come back in 4 years with a new ticket than face the possibility of having this megalomaniac Trump sort of now dominating the party or becoming the new face of or standard bearer for the party. I think they would do anything to avoid that, including just lose to Hillary.
So, Jeff, do you think if Hillary does get in, becomes president, that anything changes in the U.S., whether for the positive or the negative, or that we just stay the same on this course that we're going down that it seems like people aren't very happy with?
Well, I think it would be more of the same. I fear that because she would be our first female president, that she would attempt to have a more aggressive foreign policy to sort of smooth out any question about her toughness. So that's one thing that I fear from Hillary, apart from the fact that she is, you know, just an awful neoconservative in her foreign policy outlook. But I think she would also probably, in certain ways, have to push the social justice warrior envelope more rapidly than Obama does, because she'd be white, because she comes from a fairly wealthy background as opposed to Obama. I think, again, she would have to prove her bona fides by pushing the envelope on the social issues faster than Obama could as a black guy. So I think it would be more of the same. But I think we might find things accelerating under Hillary in a way that we didn't find them accelerating under Obama.
Jeff, it's always enjoyable hearing your thoughts on what's going on in the political realm. And it just, to me, again, I can't say it enough. I just give my head a shake when I think what Canada has done and the road that the U.S. is going down. It's a scary, scary thought, but It seems to be the cards we're dealt right now. So people need to somehow make the best of it, or I guess figure out a new country to move to. We've talked about it, but that probably won't happen. I hope everybody enjoyed this weekend's show. As always, it's been a blast putting it together. Come on by our website, kereport.com, and check out the daily editorials that we post on a daily basis covering investing and politics.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.D. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, with 20 plus years as a radio host, I've seen about everything. One thing that keeps recurring though are these timeshare charlatans. These high pressure salespeople who get folks to come out to some resort for a special weekend offer. Then they get them in a corner and browbeat them and coerce them into buying a timeshare they don't need, they don't want, and they can't afford. And then they're stuck with that thing forever. Monthly payments, mortgage payments, annual fees that keep going up and up. Well, up until recently, people thought they couldn't get rid of these things. You know, you can't get out of the contract, you can't get out of the deed or the membership. Well, that's not true. My friends at American Consumer Credit, a timeshare release company, can get you free. That's their personal guarantee. 12 years in business, free consultation, A-plus rating with the DBB, they're the real deal. You want to get out of your timeshare contract? Call them now. 800-587-EXIT. That's 800-587-3948, 800-587-EXIT. Call now, 800-587-3948.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work from home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.